Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco. Check the For You app for more deals.
I'm just one of them. Nothing more and nothing less. I'm the same person every day. And what they saw at the dinner is the person that I am 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and maybe just hopefully a couple more accolades on that list. But other than that, just being the same guy, getting around them, learning them, them learning me, and just enjoying each other's company.
That's Caleb Williams. Thanks to the Take the North podcast for that sound. Let's talk about him and what appears to be his immediate future as a Chicago Bear, if they haven't kind of gotten there already. Kalen Kaler is senior writer at The Athletic on Twitter at Kalen Kaler, and she joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today and twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Kalen, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. I am trying to talk myself out of my Bears quarterback PTSD and get excited about this draft, but it's more challenging than I thought it would be.
There is no talking yourself out of it. It's a part of you. And yeah. It can be dormant at times. It can be woven into your life at times, but you've come by it honestly. I don't think there's anybody with a working critical mind that is going to be entirely confident about anything regarding Bears right. and quarterbacks, and that's okay. Right. That's all right. That's fair.
That's all right.
So, yeah. So what do we know about how far down the road the Bears may be with their decision on this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly shocked that this process, this pre-draft process, has been so smooth for the Bears and Caleb Williams. Like, when I look back to the combine, I thought there were going to be some fireworks here. I think we all thought there might be some back channeling when he made the decision not to do medical at the combine. You could then infer, like, okay, so he's not doing medical at the combine because he wants to control who has his medical information. So maybe then he's going to choose not to visit certain teams so that they can't have his medical information. So I was kind of going down that path logically at the combine. So now that we're here, and it's like 100% clear that the Bears are taking Caleb Williams, I am honestly stunned. And I think it's a lot for like Ryan Poles bringing in Keenan Allen, trading Justin Fields, creating an environment where Caleb would want to come here. And this is more palatable to him and his team. But one thing I wanted to talk about that really shocked me in the process and is super abnormal, and I don't think we're talking about it enough, is the visits here. So each team can bring in 30 players, as you guys know, in the pre-draft process for visits. And some teams will use all of their visits. Some teams, like the Rams, will use like 5. And when the Rams do visits, they bring the player in literally just for medical purposes. They don't even talk to them. They don't come to the facility. They fly them back out. But most teams will bring players in to spend significant time with them, get to know them a little bit. The Bears only brought in one quarterback. They only brought in Caleb. They used the rest of their visits, all 29 of the rest, on other positions. Caleb only took one visit, and that, I was like, that is so odd. Like, I wonder how many other number one overall quarterback picks have also only visited one team, because I didn't think there would be many. And so I looked back to 2011, which is when the CBA changed, standardized the rookie wage scale, meaning there isn't much negotiation going on with a rookie contract. So I looked back to 2011. And of the quarterbacks taken number one overall since then, I think there's been 8. All of them have taken multiple visits, aside from Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence, who couldn't do any visits because that was COVID protocol. So even Andrew Luck, who I think is the most comparable, most comparable player to Caleb being a unanimous number one pick, he even visited Washington that year, who had the number two pick, and obviously they took RG3. So it's super, super rare that a quarterback would choose to only visit one team. And then on the flip side, the Bears bringing in just one quarterback, a lot of people I've talked to in the scouting community have really questioned that decision, because they're like, why wouldn't you want more data points on the rest of the guys? Even if your mind is made up, like, the analytical side of this has people kind of like screaming, like, what are you guys doing? But I guess they were, it just shows how confident they were that Caleb is their guy. And Poles was asked about this. Courtney Cronin asked him the question this week, you know, why did they choose to do that? And he was like, yeah, well, we had other touch points on the other players from earlier in the process, and we didn't feel like we needed to bring them in. So I think this just shows you, like, Caleb going to one team, the Bears bringing in one quarterback, like, there's no other possible outcome here other than Caleb Williams going to the Bears. And it shows what a unique prospect he is as well, that he is so elite and like so unquestionably the best quarterback in this crop of quarterbacks, that he's just going to go to one team because he knows the Bears aren't trading. And I think we can also infer that they've told him, like, very explicitly, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming they've told him, you're our guy. Otherwise, if you're him, you're probably going to go visit other teams. And then one other thing I'll say about that, which I think is an interesting strategy on his end, you know, they feel, why would we waste our time going to another team that doesn't have the ability to draft us? But I would kind of look at it like, why don't you want to see how other teams operate? Why don't you want to network and connect with other NFL coaches? Because I know Baker Mayfield, in his process, he was also pretty much a unanimous number one in 2018 when he went number one overall. I think he visited about 7 NFL teams, which is a lot. And the reason he did that is because he was, you know, networking, basically wanting to see who else he could meet in the NFL. It's almost like a pre-free agency tour. I know Caleb has said he wants to spend his entire career with whoever drafts him number one overall, so I guess that's not of interest to him. But this whole pre-draft process has been really fascinating, and I just feel like we haven't given it enough conversation yet.
Well, since these two entities have been really in lockstep with each other, it's interesting to me, Kalen, just because this is a unique situation where a one of one walks into a team that's probably ready to be competitive. Have you talked to anyone around football is there any way that the Bears could have, I don't know, like, help him get up to speed so that he can hit the ground running? Is that even allowed?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing. Yeah. People talking about how you can, even if you wanted, sign a deal and sort of work ahead. Coaches aren't patient. And I would think if the decision's made, they're looking at all of this as potentially wasted time when they could be uploading stuff.
Yeah, so I think that was probably a big motivation of them making their decision so soon, is to get ahead of things. So if they're not bringing other quarterbacks into the facility, they're not wasting time like trying to teach another quarterback parts of their offense while they're in on a visit, right? So there's definitely been teaching. I'll say this, the Bears have definitely been teaching Caleb their offense, and it's allowed. So there are limits to how many times you can contact a player. I believe it's 3 times a week you can contact them, and then it's up to 1 hour. So like, that is all allowed with Zooming or phone calls. That's all, you know, above board. That's, you know, the rules of the pre-draft process. But I will say that the quarterback coach he's working with is Will Hewlett. We know this. Will Hewlett is very good friends with Shane Waldron, the Bears offensive coordinator. They met at the combine. They had a long lunch at the combine where they discussed a lot of things, caught up. Obviously, they're talking about Caleb and that as well. They go back from this group called the Quarterback Collective, which does a high school quarterback camp every summer. And it's a lot of NFL coaches are involved in that camp, and Will helps out with that. So he's got a very good understanding of what Shane Waldron is going to be putting into this Bears offense, what he's bringing to Chicago, because he knows Shane Waldron very well. So you can just logically infer there that what Will Hewlett is working on with Caleb Williams, and he's going to be continuing to work with Caleb all summer when Caleb is not in Chicago, when the Bears are off, they're going to continue to work together. You can infer that what they're working on is coming from Chicago, is coming from Shane Waldron.
So you're reporting, just to clarify, you're reporting that the Bears have already begun teaching him the offense they're going to run under Shane Waldron.
Yes. And I think that's not uncommon. I think like when a team has zeroed in on a guy like this, it's, yeah, why wouldn't you? Obviously, they haven't been able to put him out on a field and run him through anything, you know, in any official capacity, but the footwork he's working on, the footwork married with the route concepts that he's working on, are going to be things that are appearing in Shane Waldron's offense in Chicago because of that very established connection between Will and Shane. And just because it makes sense, right? Like that's what you would want to be doing at this point in the process when you haven't wasted any time exploring any other quarterbacks aside from attending, you know, a couple of their pro days.
Kalen, what's the, because you've been doing so much like deep digging on Caleb. What's the most interesting thing you were told about Caleb Williams?
I think like as it applies to off the field, I think what's really interesting, first of all, can I just say that the anonymous scout quotes coming out about comparing him to Prince and like
Jay-Z.
Ripping him. Yeah. And like ripping him to crying to his mom. It really makes me wonder if it's like worth, obviously I hear stuff like that too. And I haven't really reported any of that stuff because it really makes me wonder journalistically, like, mm-hmm. is it worth amplifying these very outdated opinions that are like borderline, you know, I don't know what word I'm looking for.
Offensive.
Yeah. Like, comparing him to Prince, you can see where that person was going with that.
100%.
Well, and my response is, if he's as good at football as Prince was good at music, then awesome.
Yeah, that seems
that's
like a really good thing.
Yep. That's what Chicago needs.
And,
yeah.
And Kalen, I'll just tell you that a lot of those same type of thoughts came into my inbox, and I had the same kind of mind churn over – do I share some of this stuff when it feels very much like the beginning of looking at the old school baseball scouts and some of the weird things that they would say about prospects? It feels very antiquated, some of the things that are said to us about Caleb Williams.
And I'll say, if it was on the record, fine, then share it. But like, if you're going to give someone the anonymous cover to like, rip someone for, if you're going to rip them for their football on the field, like that's fine. But like, if you're going to rip them for these very outdated things, that just makes me question if it's like worth amplifying that at all anonymously. But what I was going to say is, I got on a tangent there, sorry. But what I was going to say is that I think Caleb is the most pro ready quarterback that we've ever seen, both on and off the field, because as we all know from the Mitch Trubisky experience, I believe the mental side of dealing with the criticism, dealing with the reaction from fans, from social media, from us here on the radio, like, I think that really got to Mitch. I think that was really challenging for him from talking to people around him. That was the sense that I got. And Caleb, that is not going to be a problem. He has been, you know, vilified on social media, on, you know, regular media all over the place for several years now for different things he does, for painting his nails, for crying to his mom. You know, I mean, all of these scout quotes that we just talked about, like he's dealt with that. And he was on the Pivot podcast. I listened to it, you know, I'm sure you guys listened to that as well, but did a long interview there where he kind of discussed how he will sometimes check in on the social media stuff. He doesn't totally, you know, tune it out like some players will. He'll check in on it because he thinks it's kind of entertaining. And I think that's such a great attitude to have when it comes to criticism and dealing with that, is like finding it funny and being able to just roll it off of you. And I think like that's going to be so important for Caleb if he does encounter challenges here, which I'm sure he will. I think that's going to be huge to helping him succeed, that off the field mental aspect.
It makes me curious that if indeed the Bears are availing themselves of the 180 minutes they have per week to do this and to have these Zoom conversations, I wonder if it happens to come up when they're going through some of the plays and say, hey, by the way, we have the 9th pick.
Right.
What makes you comfortable? Just so we hear these stories, Kalen, as you did about Joe Burrow. and say, you know, we could take Penei Sewell, who could lock down your blind side for 10 years, or we could take Ja'Marr Chase, who you can have the confidence to know he's down there somewhere. And Burrow had a strong thought about that. If this truly is a collaborative partnership, as Bears brass like to discuss, do you know to what extent the input has been requested?
That I don't know, and I wish I did. I did make calls to like everyone on Caleb's team this week because I just wanted to know a little bit more about their pre-draft strategy, because I did hear from one team that they did want to bring him in on a visit, one quarterback needy team. They wanted to bring him in. They asked to bring him in. They asked to Zoom with him, and Caleb's representatives declined. And that is not out of the ordinary. That will happen, you know, every year in the draft. A quarterback will be like, yeah, no, I'm not going to meet with that team. But this was a team that was like in striking distance and needed a quarterback. So that was interesting to me. So I wanted to ask them about that and also a million other questions, but no one answered the phone. His dad did answer the phone, but he said, talk to Phil. And Phil is obviously Caleb's like main publicist. Like anytime I call Carl, it's always just talk to Phil. But I try regardless. So I do not know the answer to that. I would assume it would be, you know, if I'm thinking like Caleb, I would want Rome Odunze, but I'm worried that Rome is not going to be there, because I do think the New York Giants are very likely to take him. And I think they're at 6. So I would think it would be Rome and then Joe Alt, and then you go to defensive tackle Byron Murphy, I guess, if those two guys are gone. But I would think, if I'm thinking like Caleb, I would be thinking receiver.
Kaylin, as always, great stuff. Thank you for always bringing us cool things when you're on the air with us.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for giving me a platform, because I tried to write about this week and they were like, it's not really a story. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to share it on the radio.
Kind of feels like a story to us.
I would say anytime.
Like a pretty important one.
This standing offer.
Yeah.
Anytime that happens, call us.
Yep.
Okay. Anytime.
Thanks, guys.
That's Kaylin Kaler, senior writer at The Athletic and a frequent contributor here at Sports Radio 670.
When we come back, Jason Leisure wrote about what we were talking about a couple days ago, the idea of the rebuild's over, the guardrails are off. Like it or not, kid, you're in the middle of this. So why don't we talk to him about Caleb Williams and the playoff-bound Bears? Next, here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go now. You fire the first shot. Let's go, man.
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at The Score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
HITS, they all stand for try hard. So for the coaches, it's now H is for, hey, don't do that. I is for, I wouldn't do that if I were you. T is for, that's a bad thing to do. And S is for, stop, you're fired.
I don't know if I really look at it that way, Jay.
Co-host of the Sports Adjacent Podcast.
I was driving to my dad's house before recording this. I was like, man, I'm really in the mood for a beer. Just one. And then I remembered, like, all the beer at my dad's house is gross.
Jason Leisure with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Time to talk to Jason Leisure about your Chicago Bears. He's on Twitter at Jason Leisure. Bears writer for the Sun-Times is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Jason, when we heard Ryan Poles speak, I wrote down something he said that I said, oh, wow, that's a thing. When he said it's going to be hard to make this team, that tells me that based on your body of work that you put together, this roster, if it's going to be hard to make this team, you should make the playoffs. Is that fair?
Yeah, I agree. And that certainly wasn't true the last couple of years. I mean, think how many guys made the team in 2022, the first season of the rebuild, that aren't on the team anymore or aren't playing significant roles. I mean, that was a time when it helped to have a ton of fifth, sixth, seventh round draft picks and go fishing and just see if any of these guys turn out to be anything, because you got a lot of job openings. It's not the case anymore. And so if I was him, I would think that the Bears are at a stage where they need picks that can get them starters. And that's really it. And those, that third round pick, that fourth round pick, maybe they find somebody in there that helps them as a return man, or as maybe a third receiver if they don't end up going receiver at nine. But that's why I have never wanted to see them trade down out of nine.
Neither.
Go get top line starting level players. They're way past the filling out the roster stage.
Yeah, I mean, Dan and I apparently disagree with you about this. I think that it's okay if they trade out of nine as long as they don't trade too far back, because I like the top 20 picks in this draft. I think it's strong and you're getting a starter. You know, depending on who you draft, I think out of the top 20 talent that's there. But that being said, it's one thing for us to hear him say that they're in a new place and that they're kind of done with the rebuild. Do you think that he's right where they are good enough from a talent standpoint, depending on what they add here, where we should be talking about them as a contender for a playoff spot?
Well, they have to be. I mean, time is out. You don't just get forever to rebuild. So there has to be an endpoint on the rebuild itself. And now we see, is it viable? I think there's enough in place. And this has been talked about so much with Caleb Williams, that he is walking into one of the best situations you could as a number one overall quarterback pick. It's very rare that you walk into anything other than a total disaster in that situation. And the Bears are a long way from what they need to be. They were picking ninth on their own record from last year. They are the ninth worst team in the NFL last season. So they are not, you know, they aren't like, say, the 49ers or the Packers or one of those teams even. But what was Justin Fields last year as a passer? Justin Fields is probably, I don't know, a C or a C minus as a passer. If Caleb Williams can come in and be even a C plus as a passer, I think there's enough around it that they should be competing for a wild card. They should be the expectation should be make the playoffs this year.
Since you're talking about getting starters at number nine, which player do you think, or what position group do you think is the right move? Or does it matter? Like, should it be a receiver? Can it just be a pass catcher like Brock Bowers? Or would this be an opportunity for them to go find someone to place next to Montez Sweat?
Yes to all. That's one of the great things about the way their draft lines up, is they needed a quarterback so badly. And for once, it's somebody that everyone agrees on for the most part. It's not, well, you have to trade up to do it, or you have to take what someone else is moving on from in the case of trading for Jay Cutler or Nick Foles. It's not you have to hope this falls this way so that you end up with the guy. That part's really clear cut. And then at nine, you're still in reach to get one of the top three players, and at some positions, the top player himself, at premium spots. Wide receiver, they could get the third wide receiver. They could be having their choice between the third wide receiver, the second offensive tackle, the top pass rusher, the top defensive tackle. And I would look at all that and say, there's no wrong answer if you pick a good player. If you pick a guy that turns out at any one of those really important positions, there is no wrong answer. It's really an ideal situation for a GM.
It's amazing that we've gotten to this day, as crazy and silly as things got with some of the Justin Fields stuff and some of that tribalism. Do you get the sense that finally, all of the Fields dead enders have retreated to whatever they go back to? All the people are like, I'll never be a Bears fan again. I'm boycotting the team. That de-escalated rather quickly.
I don't really live on Twitter, so I don't know that I'm the most qualified person to talk about this, but I do know that those things tend to go away when these moves work out. This move hasn't worked out yet. I think that has quieted down significantly from what I can tell. Now, that being said, if Caleb Williams is out there week one at Soldier Field and throws an interception, you know what you're going to hear. You know exactly what you're going to hear in the stands. You're going to hear, we want Justin, we want Justin.
What did you think of what happened yesterday?
Oh, gosh, the stadium?
Yeah.
The stadium looks cool. It looks like a combination of Minnesota and Vegas. The presentation was kind of rough, kind of awkward. And they are awfully confident that there's a public appetite to pay for this.
Do you think they're done with Arlington Heights?
No. I think that Kevin Warren had a chance to shoot down Arlington Heights entirely and say, we are done. And he did not. He was very careful. He was very lawyer-like to answer that question in a way that completely still leaves the door open for Arlington Heights. That is sitting there as this blank canvas that they can do whatever they want with. And I think, you know, in basketball series, they always say, you know, the series starts when somebody loses a home game. I think that the Arlington Heights effort, the game really starts now that the Bears are zeroing in on Chicago and unveiling this stadium rendering that they did yesterday. Arlington Heights, I'm sure, is not done pushing for that. I will say it looks more likely at this point they're going to be on the lakefront. But, I mean, even Kevin Warren didn't close the door on Arlington Heights yesterday.
I thought that was a really interesting thing. And, like, talking to the mayor and other people about this, if Arlington Heights drops the taxes today, there'll be a shovel in the ground tomorrow. You know, like that's how I'm looking at it. I think that Kevin Warren is fixated on Chicago for a lot of reasons.
He's fixated on Chicago because whatever he thought he was going to get in the Arlington Heights deal.
I don't think that's the depth of it, Dan. I think it's more.
Not entirely, but my question for him would be, if this is the win-win-win, if this is all so great, why did you pivot to it?
Uh-huh. These are all great questions. Great questions.
I think there's a long way to go, and I think he had some – man, he is such a good speaker. Kevin Warren, that was one thing I came out of yesterday thinking is, imagine all of this but Ted Phillips doing it instead. Kevin Warren delivers well. He presents well, and he handles questions well. I mean, I'm sure Kevin Warren is going to do a million things at different points that I disagree with and criticize, but you respect him. You respect his presence. I mean, he is a serious person, but there were some things in there that were clearly veiled or not so veiled threats. And one of them was not ruling out Arlington Heights. And the other was saying, hey, if we don't get this approved and if we don't get moving, time is money. This is only going to cost more. And you're already talking about right now, best case scenario in the Bears' mind, this opens at the start of the 2028 season. But I think that's predicated on, you know, shovel in the ground no later than next summer. And there's no guarantee that that's going to happen right now.
One more thing I want to talk to you about as it pertains to Caleb Williams. From what you've been able to figure out, what were those interactions that Caleb Williams had with current Bears like?
Normal. And I think that has been one of people's hangups on Caleb Williams is that he, not mine, but at large from what I can gather from the public, is there's concerns like, is he just weird? Because he does things differently. But he is a different type of athlete. I mean, you've never had an athlete make as much money in college and be that kind of star that he was. But I think when one of the things that was illuminating to me, and I know some of these things can be packaged and prepared and rehearsed, but I don't know if you guys heard him, saw him on the Pivot podcast last week. He could not have come across more serious, normal. He reminded me in some ways, talking about some of his upbringing and how focused he has been on this since childhood. It brought to mind a little bit of what you hear about Tiger Woods' upbringing, that this is everything that he has wanted. His parents have groomed him and trained him for this, and he's wanted it too. He wasn't out messing around in high school because he didn't want to throw away what he had worked for. And I, what I understand about the meetings that he's had, not just with the Bears executives, the decision makers, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, Ian Cunningham, those guys, but also like you're saying, Lawrence, with current players, is that he comes across very normal and very, very serious about his job. And I think that is going to play well. That is something that even though they appeared to have pretty different personalities, that is something he and Justin Fields have in common, extremely serious about their work. And that is going to be respected even with him being a rookie this year.
This idea about how serious a Bears quarterback is about his work, I find it hilarious. Does anyone remember after the Bears drafted Jim McMahon in 1982 how he showed up to Halas Hall?
In a limo with beer, right?
Drinking a beer. He got out of the limo in the middle of the day with a beer in his hand. And everybody thought that was awesome. There wasn't some question. I don't know. Is he taking his job seriously enough? Does he have painted fingernails? Has he cried after a loss? Like that was.
Well, he did have like all that stuff.
But
like,
But
Dan, you can be flavorful and fun when Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael and Wilbur Marshall and Richard Dent are on the other side of the ball, giving you the ball back at the five. You can do all of that stuff when. Primarily, your job is hand the ball to Walter Payton.
But still, it's like that's when he was drafted, when he first arrived at Halas Hall. He was fifth overall, a can of Bud Light, and then they went out drinking more. Well, he had been drinking Bloody Marys. And then according to the story after that,
Dan,
a bunch of guys from the offensive line went into Highwood and they spent all day getting drunk.
One, it's a different era. Two,
it's a completely different era.
I guarantee you that
if Justin Fields or Caleb Williams were doing any of this stuff, it would not be taken the same way at all.
Okay.
You've seen Caleb Williams. You've seen him play. And I don't know what you could really have object to in his play. The whole process for the Bears since January has been to get comfortable with the person. And I think that's kind of been, at least in Chicago, that's kind of been the public's view of him too. Oh, look, this guy's great. This guy's really good. You know, but does he have these red flags in his personality, in his character? Is he more concerned with celebrity than he is with winning and things like that? And I think all of that has been settled over the last 3 months.
Jason Leisure, have fun tonight. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
That is Jason Leisure of the Chicago Sun-Times. We have High Noon coming up next. I have a long nightmare of civic stupidity has finally come to an end.
I've got Steve Stone talking about wrestling.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
Time for High Noon. We do it every day around this time. Started out by talking about Kevin Warren being on the station this morning and doing more of his song and dance routine. Professor Harold Hill selling River City on the marching band that's going to save them from all their problems. And Lawrence Holmes' interview yesterday on NBC Sports Chicago with Brandon Johnson, where all it did was raise more questions. And it appears that Mayor Johnson has been hypnotized by Kevin Warren's song and dance. He bought it. He bought it.
Hook, line, and sinker.
We had great stuff from Kalen Kaler talking about how far down the road the Bears already are, beginning the offensive install with Caleb Williams. She reported that. And Jason Leisure gave us his thoughts on everything that's going on.
Who's your guy is at noon? So I'm watching the White Sox game because someone on the show has to. And I had a nice moment. John Schriffen and Steve Stone got into a conversation, and I thought that Stoney was going to shut this down, I thought Johnny kind of like giving them the alley-oop, and I was like, oh, that's going to go out of bounds or off the backboard. It did not. It went into a great place of Steve Stone talking wrestling.
Join us at the ballpark on Thursday, May the 9th for WWE Night as the White Sox take on the Guardians at 6:30. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/promos. Steve, you're a wrestling guy?
Used to be. And then things changed. George the Animal Steel just retired. Probably passed away. I think he'd be about 140 right now. But yeah, he was one of my faves. Now, those, you know, there are different wrestlers in every part of the country.
Fly ball down that left field line. Benintendi runs out of room.
In those days, you'd have a champion in Cleveland, and then you'd have another champion in... Oh, not too far away in Pennsylvania. So when you were younger, it was pretty easy. I had to try to convince my grandfather, who believed that it was real. And I said, you believe this is real? He goes, absolutely. It is real. I said, you see that guy bleeding in the corner over there? He's wrestling tonight in Akron. That guy that's knocked out. He said, he is wrestling tonight. Now, he still believed it was real.
Fake? What the hell are you talking about, fake? It's not fake. Those guys got bashed and bloodied. I've seen guys get pounded in the ring.
It's still fake, though, dude. That's,
Charlie, I was there once. I saw a guy pick up a trash can, smash it into a guy's head.
It's still real to me, damn it! I love that Stoney told that story. And how about Stoney out here giving you the history of the territories? Back in the day in wrestling.
I'm telling you, I always tell the stories by the Omaha Civic Center that my dad used to go as a kid.
And who was his guy?
It was Baron von Raschke.
That makes sense.
I believe was the guy. He had the claw that he would,
yeah.
He would put it on your stomach, and he could, and it would freeze, and then people would have to come out and pry his fingers off.
Yeah.
The Baron or something like that. And then there was the Sheik before the Iron Sheik. There was also a different Sheik.
And Haystacks Calhoun.
I don't know if we ever saw him, but apparently they learned that one of the wrestlers' actual name was Shapiro, and they started yelling at him, hey, Shapiro! He's looking over. Like, who's this kid? Hell. The rat hole's gone. Thank God. Enough already with that dumbass rat hole. It was never a rat. The imprint in the sidewalk in Roscoe Village, and I was never personally inconvenienced by it.
No.
It's about a 10-minute walk from my house. Big deal. But it was dumb, and it was, people were being stupid around it, and it was never a rat. It was a squirrel. It's always been a squirrel. Period, paragraph.
It wasn't a rat!
And now they picked it up, they took it out, and they said, well, it's because the concrete was uneven. Whatever. They're lying. It was enough. It was done. And people out at all hours taking pictures or pouring libations to the gods and putting sacrifices to Joe Boo or whatever it was. But the imprint in the concrete of an unfortunate squirrel is now gone. And one of the dumber things I can remember going on in the city in a long time now doesn't have to go on anymore. Also, it's been there for 20 years. That's the other thing. It's been there the same amount of time as the previous renovation of Soldier Field that we're still paying $650 million.
It's not a rat.
It wasn't a rat. It isn't. Well, they took the square to an undisclosed location. I think it's going to be with the Paterno statue. I think it's the Christopher Columbus statue, the Paterno statue, and the sidewalk chunk that's got the squirrel hole in it.
No, they're going to put that by the new Soldier Field.
They're all in a secret location. Fine.
Why you put the squirrel in that company, man? I don't think the squirrel did any devious things.
That's true. I don't know that.
That's a good point.
No, I think the squirrel actually was a donor to the Second Mile.
No, that's a good point by you, Ray.
Thank you.
Although I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's still weird to me that just if you're over there at Roosevelt and Columbus, and the Columbus statue has just been covered. It just hasn't been taken anywhere. It's just still covered and fenced. That doesn't make a lot. Either take it away or put it back up. Pick one. You know what? Screw it. I'm running for mayor. Screw it.
All right.
Let's get this thing on the road.
Yeah.
We got, what, 3 years? Let's just get this thing on the road right now.
Now the oppo's probably already starting the moment you said that. They're digging in your past. They're going to find all things. They're talking to everybody around.
Someone's
got all the stories on you.
A Politico said to me yesterday that I am guaranteed to be an oppo commercial with the interview yesterday. Someone said, you better believe that your face is going to be on someone else's campaign in 2 years.
Yeah, let's hope it's the right person.
Yeah, that's here's hoping.
Yeah, if
I can trust them.
I was just going to say, or if they're associated with the head of the police union and his MAGA hat. And yeah, this guy, Lawrence Holmes.
He really tells it like it
he's
is.
He's got our back. He gets in this guy's face.
Hey, that guy, Lawrence Holmes, is one of us. I'll tell you what.
That's why we're going to flood the street with cops, because Lawrence said so.
I will say that this was a really weird week to be dancing on the stage like it was the... You know, the 1995 Source Awards, considering that we're mourning the murder of a Chicago police officer. Nah, right?
Nah. 312-644-6767. Let's do draft stuff. Who's your guy next?